You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. And again, it's a new week here on Locked On Fantasy Football. We've got now only three games left in the 2018-19 NFL season for us to get in on the action. It was a very interesting weekend of games. Not as close as we thought. Some big performances to really help us. And we have to say goodbye to four teams for the season here as they got eliminated in the divisional playoffs. So we'll start with that, the takeaways from those games with our show today. We'll come back with a look at the AFC Championship game tomorrow, NFC Championship on Wednesday, and then Thursday, again, we'll do another DraftKings-specific show looking at values, how you want to play these games, and comparing players across positions there more so than team-by-team there to help you fill out your best lineup. So that's how we'll do it here this week through our four shows, much like last week. So let's go back to the first game here of the weekend. The Chiefs beat the Colts pretty soundly here, 31-13. The Colts' only real score came pretty late in garbage time. They got a return, dropped their blocked punt touchdown there. That was their only other score in this game. So Chiefs in control for most of it. The surprise was Patrick Mahomes, and this is why I said didn't pay up for him, is 278 yards, zero TDs. He had one rushing there on a dive into the end zone, but they scored three times on the ground. Damien Williams, another big game for him, 25 carries, 129 yards, and a TD. You had Tyreek Hill, one for 36 and a TD. And Darrell Williams got the other touchdown later. So four rushing touchdowns for Chiefs. Unusual, a little bit of an anomaly here, given that Mahomes looked pretty good for most of the game, but he was sacked four times. He was banged up a little bit, 27-41 only. I think he'll fare much better in the championship game and a good rebound opportunity. But this is why you didn't necessarily pay up for him. The Chiefs were favored in this one. Williams, Damien, what can you say? I mean, this has been a pretty much one-back offense. Whoever's in there goes back to Jamal Charles, and then they went with Spencer Ware. And now it's all about Damien Williams. And he got re-signed, so he's under contract for next year. So legitimately, he's looking like the feature guy, given the way he's running and fitting in this offense. He had 30 touches in this game overall, 154 yards total with that TD that I mentioned on the ground. Travis Kelce looked pretty darn good, 7 for 108. They ran for 180 yards in this game, so they didn't need too much. They were in control. They kind of stepped off the gas in the second half, didn't do much scoring because the Colts weren't providing much resistance here. So that kind of hurt the overall numbers. So Hill did redeem himself with that rushing touchdown, 8 for 72. Sammy Watkins was decent, 6 for 62, but Travis Kelce solid, 7 for 108. So pretty much this offense welcomed back Watkins. He's kind of that complimentary guy. Chris Conley nowhere to be found. So it's a lot of Hill and Kelce, Watkins, and then of course a lot of Damien Williams. So pretty much he's become the direct replacement for Kareem Hunt, and looks like he might have a hold on this job beyond this little end of the season and playoff run here for the Chiefs. And Watkins is a guy I would watch in the championship game. The attention's going to go on Hill or Kelce. Watkins looked pretty good. He had a 34-yard play in this game as well, coming back healthy. So that was an encouraging sign here for the Chiefs. Adds another speed element, another experienced receiver there to take some pressure off Hill. And I think the Chiefs, again, are going to stay balanced and explosive, but I don't expect them to score all four rushing touchdowns. I expect them to score more touchdowns and more of that to be diversified in the passing game. still a reason why you don't necessarily pay up for what you had in Mahomes. Now, Andrew Luck, we thought he would be a decent pay up, but really disappointing game for his entire offense. He just didn't look right. 203 yards. I mentioned that late touchdown to T.Y. Hilton, 4 catches for 60 yards and a TD on 10 targets. So Luck was just off. He was under pressure quite a bit. He was sacked 3 times. The guy that was only sacked 18 times during the regular season. So this offensive line wasn't playing great. They couldn't open up any holes in the running game. They really couldn't stick with the running game. Really was the bigger question with the game flow. Because Marlon Mack looked pretty good, 9 for 46 on the ground there, but just couldn't stick with it. Probably should have played it a little bit earlier than that, because then they got certain chunks from Mack and Hines. And Luck even had a couple good scrambles. But when you look at it, disappointing overall. He had took some big sacks here. 3 sacks, 27 yards lost. He just did not look right in this game. Well, completed about 50% of his passes, 19 for 36. So Andrew Luck, we'll see going forward. It was a big season. He's the second in touchdown passes to Mahomes this year, but still a lot of question marks on what his value could be. I think they need to get another receiver there. Dontrell Inman did a pretty good job in this one and replacing some guys, 4 for 55. Eric Ebron was more involved elsewhere in the field, 5 for 51 and 9 targets. Just an off game for Luck. I think they, again, need another receiver. Luck and Hilton are going to be fine next year, but that go-to big target outside, in addition to Jack Doyle coming back healthy with Ebron, that would help the Colts for sure. As Luck can have these rough games from time to time, and this was one, and I'm still looking at him as a QB1 next year. T.Y. Hilton looking still like a wide receiver 2 or 3. And Marlon Mack right now, if they don't make any moves in free agency, he's the lead back here, even with Hines and Jordan Wilkins behind him. Mack is still the guy that's running well. He's going to be having a full offseason to get fully healthy there, and I would expect he's going to be a popular RB2, and given the way things are, he could be the back-end RB1, kind of like Damian Williams right now. If things don't change there, I think he's a solid RB1 for the Chiefs. Now, Ebron is the season fluky a little bit with the touchdown dependence, and the variance and regression can happen there, especially if Doyle returns and he's healthy. But Doyle is dealing with a serious injury of the kidney. They do like him in this offense. So Ebron, I can't see the same touchdown total, but I still see him a vital part of this offense and a worthy look at a tight end 1 next year. But keep in mind Doyle and his status, that could change things as well. So before we dive into the rest of the games, if you got the gift of a smart speaker for the holidays, well, it's a good time to test it out here by listening to the shows on the Locked On Network. You can just say play Locked On Fantasy Football with whatever device you're using, and boom, you're listening to the show as easy as that. Any one of our shows, whether it's a fantasy or a real football, NFL, with all the team-by-team podcasts we have, the NFL Draft podcasts. We have both Locked On NFL Draft and Draft Dudes. Then, of course, MLB, NBA, college sports. We're all over the board, and we're one word away. If you just say play Locked On and your favorite show, you are good to go and can start hearing our insights, and we're glad to bring them to you week after week. We never go away during the off season, and there's a lot to talk about, and we're going to keep talking, and we're glad you're listening. Be right back here to break down the rest of the game, starting with the Cowboys and Rams, the Saturday night divisional playoff matchup. Now, in our Saturday night special, we had to say goodbye to the Dallas Cowboys. At 30-22, the Rams beat them and knocked them out. It was a solid game for Dak Prescott. We thought he could be a good value. We said, okay, he might get a passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown. That's exactly what happened here. 266 yards and a TD for Dak Prescott through the air. It went to Amari Cooper early. He also had a short rushing touchdown to make his day solid overall. Amari Cooper, he was locked in, 6 for 65. 29-yard score, but the Rams took him out for most of the rest of the game. Ezekiel Elliott was bottled up, couldn't get anything going. As the Rams sold out to stop the run, he still ended up with 22 touches for 66 yards and a rushing TD. So not bad. You expected a lot more given the matchup here for Elliott, but here the Rams were selling out to stop him, forcing Prescott to pass and hoping it wouldn't burn them, and they ran the ball themselves well enough where it didn't, and the Cowboys didn't have enough possessions to win this game. But you look at Michael Gallup, very promising game, had a 44-yard play, a lot of other big plays, 6 catches for 119 yards. So looking like Gallup is going to be locked in as the number two receiver for this team with Cooper. So they're set there, looks like, for a while. Gallup is only going to develop as a big play target and a well-rounded receiver for Dak Prescott. Flashed a lot this year, but I think he can be a little bit more consistent. We'll have to see what goes on tight end. Jeff Swaim was down for this game. Blake Jarwin, we thought would be the guy, but Dalton Schultz, 1 catch, 20 yards. Jarwin, 2 for 17. So we'll have to see how that develops. Schultz is a rookie. Jarwin is the guy they liked as well. So we'll see if that can come back to relevance. 2 years now removed from Jason Witten. It will be in 2019. And it was just a mess, but I think they really need to incorporate this position a little bit more. They have to look at how much they want to really use Cole Beasley. Allen Hurns, I don't know if he's going to come back with that foot or ankle injury either. So when you're looking at it, I think Gallup and Cooper are your easy starters. Everything else is a little bit questioned. Elliott is not. He's your feature stud back. Going to be that high first round pick, maybe one of the top three players selected. And what do you do about Prescott in this offense? There's just so many values at quarterback. I still look at him as a borderline QB1-2 on the right matchups because, the Cowboys really want to run and dominate that way and don't want a high volume in the passing game. So that's how you have to kind of assess Dak's value. Now, on the other side of things, Jared Goff, if you played him, you were extremely disappointed. And we said it's a bend-don't-break defense. They're going to stop the big plays. That's what they did. They played the pass. They're worried about that. 186 yards passing only. No picks, no TDs, however. So bad game there. But when CJ Anderson and Todd Gurley are just running over a zone defense, you'll take that every time. Now, CJ Anderson was a surprise. We thought Gurley was fully healthier, and it's not like Gurley slouched. He had 16 carries for 115 yards and a TD, as well as 2 catches for 3 yards. But they knew Gurley was a little beat up. They liked what Anderson did while Gurley was out with the knee injury for those last 2 weeks of the regular season. So Sean McVay likes him. His running style, powerful, kind of like a fullback change of pace for Gurley. Gurley's still big and strong and that, but he's the faster back here. Anderson, bowling ball type, 23 carries, 123 yards and 2 scores. So a little frustrating if you were a Gurley owner knowing what kind of game Gurley could have had. I mean, this is just went completely against the Rams' MO where they went with one back in most parts when Gurley was fully healthy, and that maybe that was a question mark. They needed to limit Gurley's touches a little bit in this game. He still got 18. It's just that Anderson got 23 in this one. So a little weird game plan, but made a lot of sense. If they like the way Anderson's running, Gurley's banged up. They don't like to just force the ball in the air. This is what you get. And in the passing game, it really suffered because it was only 6 for 69 on 8 targets for Robert Woods, 4 for 65 on 6 targets for Brandon Cooks. So this is the way the Rams might need to win here because you go in this matchup next week. The Saints, tough one. Without Cooper Kupp drawing some attention there, I think it's still going to have to be about the running game, even though it's a very hard run defense to face in New Orleans there on Sunday. So overall, Jared Goff, I want you to see more here before you completely trust him. It's clear, again, that Kupp is the guy that kind of stirs everything here in the passing game. And we'll see. Tyler Higbee, we saw it, the tight ends could be involved. Gerald Everett was not, but Higbee had 2 catches for 30. You never know with them, and that's hard. Josh Reynolds just really didn't show up here. So team wasn't passing a lot, not passing effectively, just ran. It was not good there. But if you had some weird foresight to play Anderson, you were heavily rewarded here for sure because he was dirt cheap behind Gurley. And you might have to consider him again this week, but again, the Saints' run defense is actually better than the Cowboys, and they're not going to just sit back and be picked apart like the Cowboys were back there against the Rams. So Goff, I think, can rebound. He's going to have to throw a little bit more this week, but still not crazy about anything Rams away from Todd Gurley and Robert Woods this week. As we flip to Sunday, this was another blowout. The score looked a lot closer than the game really was. 41-28, the Patriots in charge early here. They led this game 35-7 at halftime. So it was over by halftime. But Tom Brady, I said there's going to be a lot of dinking and dunking, a lot of running in this game. That's exactly what happened. 343 yards for Brady, but it took him 44 attempts to get there in TD. But it was Sonny Michel dominating on the ground, 24 carries, 129 yards, and 3 TDs. Rex Burkhead got in the act and scored a TD as well. In the past game, a lot of Julian Edelman, expect 9 catches on 13 targets for 151 yards. James White caught 15 of 17 for only 97 yards. So extension of the running game, James White was certainly that to play behind Michel and Burkhead, given that White did not have any carries in this game. So they were doing the dinking and dunking, used Rob Gronkowski once for downfield play, one catch for 25, but mainly used him as a blocker. He was very effective in this one. The touchdown, unfortunately, passing-wise, went to Philip Dorsett, 4 for 41. He's wide open on it. So overall, this game plan was not different. Hopefully that you invested in James White, Julian Edelman, Sonny Michel. We really like those guys going into this game. And again, the Chiefs are pretty vulnerable there to receiving backs. So it's definitely a question mark there that they'll get Michelle and White and Burkhead involved again against the Chiefs. Try to also grind the clock, keep the Chiefs' offense off the field. It makes a lot of sense to use those guys after this offensive line is playing so well and they were so effective as a group against the Chargers. There, the Chiefs will play a little stronger front. They're not going to play that 7 defense back thing, so that slows things down. But the Chiefs' numbers are still pretty bad against the run, and unlike the Colts, the Patriots won't be totally disappearing from the game and be one-dimensional. So Michelle in another good spot there in the championship game against the Chiefs. And Edelman, White, that's the way the Patriots are built right now. They're not a downfield team. There's no Josh Gordon drawing attention there. So they got to pick their spots for that. And Gronk is a little slow now, so they're not going to force the ball to him when it's not there either. So that's kind of the way it is. And I think Brady's going to have to throw a little bit more against the Chiefs in a back-and-forth affair. I don't think they'll get away with just running the ball there against the Chiefs, so Brady should rebound and have a good value. Still wasn't terrible, 343-3. Phillip Rivers, you'll take the garbage. He didn't come up victorious. He's never beaten Tom Brady. Pretty bad game, 25 for 51. He was trying deep ball after deep ball after deep ball. That's what the Patriots are giving him, and 331 yards and 3 TDs. There with an interception, so not a good reality game, but a fine fantasy game for Rivers to close out the year. Keenan Allen wide open on his long touchdown there, 2 catches for 73 yards, or 75 yards, and he had Tyrell Williams, pretty good game, 5 for 94, and Mike Williams involved as well, 5 for 68. So the Patriots did a good job of bottling all these guys up, but at least he had Keenan Allen come through with that long TD early in the game. Melvin Gordon was totally wiped out of this game with the game flow. 10 touches only for 36 yards. He salvages his day barely as a back-end RB2 flex play with a touchdown there late. So tough game all around for the Chargers. We expect next year Gordon to be the man. Austin Eckler touched the ball only 3 times in this game. Justin Jackson 4. So Gordon was still the guy that they went with from the end. I think Mike Williams could have a big year next year. I know Tyrell was the leading receiver here, but Keenan Allen locked in as the number one. But Mike Williams making some big plays all over the field, missed some long ones as well. Consider it was 5 for 68 on 11 targets. So a lot of opportunities missed out there. Mike Williams is only going to get better and be more involved. The touchdown went to the 2 tight ends, Antonio Gates. Last game probably as a Charger, 5 catches, 41 yards, TD. There, and the Virgil Green, 1 catch, 1 yard, TD. So they didn't use Hunter Henry, even though he was active. Bit of a surprise there, given that they needed some diversity to beat the Patriots, but maybe the game got out of hand and they didn't just want to go in that direction. And we'll have to see Eckler versus Jackson. The true handcuff still looks like it's Jackson because he can do everything there if Gordon were to miss more time in 2019. So let's see. Look at Phillip Rivers. I think he's still a back-end QB1. His consistency and the weapons he has around him. There, Gordon's still an RB1. Keenan Allen is a wide receiver one at the back end, and Mike Williams has some upside as a wide receiver two. Now, keep in mind, we're all over the place on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. My Facebook is By Vinny Iyer, my Twitter at Vinny Iyer. Just like all the hosts here on the network, we want to connect with you on social media. Give us feedback on the show. Tell us what you want to hear here in the 2019 editions, whether it's the off season or when we get to in season again. And again, find me on the social platforms. Check out what we're doing. Connect with us. We like it. And we're doing this for you. And we're glad when you're getting the insight you need. And we appreciate anything you want to see or be done or heard just to make your experience more enjoyable and insightful on the Locked On Network. We right back here to close here the show with a look at the Eagles Saints result. Now we move on to our final game for the takeaways of the divisional weekend, and the Saints rally. They were down 14-0 in the first quarter. They win 20-14, so didn't allow any points after the first quarter. I mean, what can you say? A solid game for all your principals. 301 yards, two TDs for Drew Brees. Did have that pick and throwing a deep pass on the first ball that was intercepted to Ted Ginn, but he learned from that, went nuts with Michael Thomas. 12 catches, 171 yards, and a TD. Alvin Kamara didn't have a touchdown, but 108 yards from scrimmage. Mark Ingram, after a slow start, added up with 62 yards from scrimmage. So they could have done a little bit more, but the Saints had to play from behind a little bit. They weren't in a position to smash for the running game as much as they usually do in games when they lead. They're late. So, still pretty good for Kamara if you had him. But Thomas is just exceptional. 12 catches, 171 yards, like I said. They didn't get other guys involved at times, but very limited. One catch, good one for Traquan Smith. One catch, good one for Benjamin Watson. Keith Kirkwood, a short pass for a touchdown here. So, they pretty much simplified their offense. A lot of Michael Thomas, a lot of Ginn and Kamara, and sporadic with the other players involved there. So, the Saints keep marching on here, so to speak. They get a nice matchup with the Rams, so Michael Thomas lit them up the first time, so he's in a good position here. Ted Ginn did not play in the first meeting, so could be definitely a speed concern for that Rams secondary. So overall, I think you look at the Saints, a lot of what we saw there is what we expected to get from them here in the playoffs with Brees and Kamara and Ingram, and that's exactly what happened with Sean Payton's play calling, down to the fake punt by Taysom Hill that kind of changed the course of the game and allowed the Saints to march on and give us some more fantasy points and now are in the championship round for us as well. The Eagles, Nick Foles, look, the last pass, we never know what's going to happen with Alshon Jeffrey. If he holds on to that, 5 for 63 on those 8 targets, but had that, if you want to call it a drop. Marshawn Lattimore picks it up for the second interception. But overall, I didn't think Nick Foles looked that great after the first series. 18 for 31, 201 yards, TD and interception here. The Saints just adjusted pretty quickly after he threw, and then Foles had a rushing touchdown randomly as well. So that kind of made his day okay. But 201 yards, 2-2, and really struggling to get there is not my idea of what I want to see in my fantasy quarterback. And now he's gone, and we said that's why you look at Foles beyond the fantasy perspective, and we said he could be a good value there. And the two TDs gave him that value on the return for how much you were paying for him, but it was tough there. And maybe there would have been a third one, and Jeffrey held on there late. They finished and complete that drive there, but can't think about what could have, should have been. It's what you got from Foles. You got the multi-touchdowns in the backdoor way overall. Now, the running game, completely disaster. Wendell Smallwood, 10 carries for 33 yards. You have Darren Sproles hardly touching the ball. So we'll see how this backfield goes. I mean, they could be really looking to upgrade here. They have Darren Sproles on the older side. He had only 6 touches for 25 in this game. Smallwood, 11 for 39 when you include his catch. Not much else going on. So no power running game. Maybe they'll look at Le'Veon Bell the offseason. Sproles could be headed into retirement and all that, but the Eagles need to find a running back. J.H.I., keep in mind, having a major injury, we'll see if he can come back strong from that and lead his backfield, but overall, the Eagles need to find some solution there for us to trust in fantasy without Josh Adams was it for a while, but I think it's more going to be a committee with Doug Peterson. We just need to find the most talented guy to do some damage there, and maybe they'll change that up, given the running game got stale, predictable, and was shut down pretty easily going forward, and maybe they would go and splurge for Bell while they can. And Foles, again, last game is an Eagle probably. They're not going to keep him over Carson Wentz, so we'll see where he lands up. Again, boomer bust type player. I don't know if he's any better than some of these streaky quarterbacks we have, like Joe Flacco or Eli Manning, when they can be very good or very bad, nothing in between. So we'll have to see. So beware with Foles there, no matter where he lands. And I would give that same advice to NFL teams and free agency. We know we had the Case Keenum conundrum there of last season, same kind of situation. Played well for a team, got overpaid by another team as a starter, and that's why they're backups, because they get overexposed and not reliable when they play too much. Zach Ertz, I was pleased with the 5 for 50, given the Saints are pretty good against the tight end. Jordan Matthews, we could have done without his random touchdown, one catch, 37 yards, and the early score. Alshon Jeffrey, 5 for 63 again. So this Eagles receiving core, Jeffrey Ertz is still going to be the main man. Golden Tate, we'll see if they want to bring him back. Nelson Aguilar disappeared this season, so Jordan Matthews could carve out a role, but Jordan Matthews has more in connection there with Foles than he did with Wentz, so we'll have to see about that. But Jeffrey and Ertz are the only two reliable offensive skill guys that you look at around Wentz going into 2019 in fantasy that you really are totally looking at to trust. So there you have it. There's a look at the championship games, the takeaways from the four winning teams, from the four losing teams. And that's a good segue transition to what we're doing tomorrow, breaking down the AFC championship game, which is now set as the Patriots at the Chiefs. An epic matchup, a rematch from a 43-40 game in the regular season. The Rams Saints also a rematch of a 45-35 game from the regular season. So a lot of points, a lot of chances for fantasy this week. It's going to be exciting. Number one versus number two seed on both sides, as it should be here this deep in the NFL playoffs before Super Bowl 53. So excited to do that, talk about those games a little bit more. But we had to put a bow on these four games and for four of these teams, their season in losing there in the divisional round. So thanks so much for listening. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you tomorrow to break down the AFC Championship game.